Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. I'm in Denver. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune, joins me as always. Jay, this series, Padres at Rockies, four games. It's just weird. We are talking about a team that is firmly, so to speak, in playoff position against a bad team. Yet it feels like the Padres are walking into the death trap.
I know they feel like these huge underdogs, right? You know, like there's some college team going into to play LeBron James and
I hope Dwayne their payday Wade is good. The Padres are getting a good guarantee for this one.
Yeah, exactly. It's Alcorn State coming to Viejas to play the Aztecs on December 22nd or something. Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, the Padres are 10.5 games ahead of the Rockies. The Rockies are tied for last place in the division. As you mentioned, the Padres are in playoff position. They're still 49-38. I mean, despite all that we've watched in the last couple of weeks, I was saying 5 wins in their last 16. You were saying 4 wins in their last 14. Both are bad. 4-14 is worse. So, I mean, if only they had some guys who were like batting .286 instead of having a .286 winning percentage during that time, it might work out better. But yeah, there's no question this has not been a good team over the last, 3 weeks or so. And they're playing against a team that's not good, but they're playing in a building or a ball field or whatever you want to call it, where they've lost 10 straight games. And you'd like to say, oh, it doesn't mean anything, but it's got to be in their heads a little bit that they go, every time they go up there, they've been getting drilled by the Rockies.
Yeah. You know, go back, Jay, so the Padres arrive. It was June 17th. They arrived here. They had won 4 straight. They were in first place. They swept the Cubs at Wrigley Field. By the way, did basically to the Cubs what the Dodgers just did to the Cubs. Came back from these 2-5-run deficits to sweep 4 from the Cubs, I think is what maybe it was just 3 by the Dodgers. I think it was 4. Anyway, the Cubs are a terrible team. You come here, the Rockies are a terrible team. They were in last place then too and lost 3 in a row, totaled 11 runs. They've gone since the start of that series. Talk about, you know, certain amount of losses in a certain amount of games. They are 8-14 since then.
Right.
I didn't have the opportunity. I did a lot of looking back for preparation for today's writing and talking. But I don't know where that ranks in the majors since June 17th, but it's not good. I bet it's worse than the Orioles.
Right. They're 4. Well, the Orioles are like 20 years old now. That 8-14 stretch that you mentioned, that includes a 4-1 record against the Diamondbacks in that time. So they've really, really struggled against everybody else. And yeah, they lost 23-11 in the 3 games at Coors.
That was yesterday's score too.
I think except for the 11 part. That's. I think it was 10 when I left, and I think it was 11 when I like walked around past center field and could hear, and that was the last I could hear of the either Orsillo or Jesse Agler broadcast that plays on various, you know, you walk by a bar and it might be TV, and then you're out by the park and it's the radio, whatever. I think I heard 11, and then I think when I got home, it was just wrapping up, and I think it was 12.
Wilmer Flores hit his 3rd home run in 2 days, his 2nd of the game, but this one was off Matthew Batten.
Okay, well, Matthew Batten, like, it was funny because the first 2 plays of the game were Batten at third base, and he made a really nice play to open the game, and I hadn't even realized, like I had just glanced at the lineup and I saw Machado was playing, but I hadn't even realized he wasn't playing third until that play, and I thought, oh, Matthew Batten making a nice play there, and Mackenzie Gore had a 1-2-3 inning. He looked great. He was throwing, I think, around 94, 95, and that was it. That was the last, other than Bryce Miller catching a foul ball in the press box. That was
very impressive.
The last highlight of the game.
Very impressive. So, Jay, let's go over quick because I think this is significant. The Padres miss Senzatella, who is on the injured list. The guy replacing him is Jose Ureña tonight. And they miss They get Freeland in the last game, but they miss Germán Márquez. So they miss a couple of the guys who've killed them. They face Jose Urena, who has, I think, pitched twice in Coors Field in his career. He was a reliever for the Brewers earlier this year. I think he's been a reliever his whole career. But get this. He started for the Rockies in his Rockies debut at Dodger Stadium and held the Dodgers to one run in 6 2/3 innings. And then Coors Field's a whole different deal. Okay.
Right. But Wednesday's guy is Chad Kuhl, who pitched a shutout against the Dodgers at Coors Field.
And the Padres have not faced him at Coors, but they did one of their victories. One of their two victories in six games against the Rockies this year is in seven games against the Rockies this year is he started and they batted him around pretty good, did not face him here. They have not faced Austin Gomber this year, though he has actually had a fair amount of success against them. And then they face Kyle Freeland on Thursday. It's Sean Manaea tonight, who has not been good at Coors Field. He's only pitched there twice. Mike Clevinger tomorrow, Joe Musgrove on Wednesday, and Blake Snell on Thursday. I actually think, you know, this is decent for the Padres as matchups go, as if we have any idea what's going to happen here at Coors Field in the next four
games. Manaea hasn't been very good lately.
No. No, I know that you cringe every time that he pitches based on the potential for what could happen. And certainly there could be some balls hit very hard and long tonight. But he's a guy who has bounced back after each one of his, bad outings.
Right, right. No, I wouldn't say I cringe. I would just say that he's been just a little bit of a disappointment from what, from what we've seen in the past and what we've read about. With him, he certainly had his good games, but he was not good against Seattle the last time out. And, he was okay at Arizona the previous time. I think he pitched really well in that game and then sort of faded at the end, if I'm remembering
in the seventh. Correctly.
A decent game against Arizona before that, was not good at Wrigley, but that was, I think, one of the games where they came back and won that game. So, his last four starts, he's given up 14 earned runs, and he's pitched 19 and a third inning. So that's, I can't do that math in my head, but it's not a very good ERA. But we'll see. And the biggest problem with the Padres right now is, beyond their pitching has not been great lately, but their hitting has really not been good. And, yesterday's lineup was, all you had to do was look at that, and you wrote about this after the game. And, they literally had AAA guys in the 6, 7, 8, 9 spots. Either guys who have been in I think all of them have been in AAA this year. And you would figure that probably all of them probably still should be in AAA and would be in AAA if the Padres were healthy right now. I'm not sure that there's any of those guys. It was Azokar, who's been slumping, and Rooker and Abrams and Batten was the other guy. So maybe Abrams or Batten would be a utility guy, but that's about it if they were healthy. So
3 weeks ago, losing
Profar. They're already down Tatis, they're already down Myers, and losing Profar the other night in that scary, scary collision was certainly didn't help this team's offense. We're glad to hear that. I think I saw something that Profar was in the clubhouse yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that's good to see that he's back. And
he's been there every day, but
hopefully he can play this weekend if all goes, well with him, if he's healthy enough.
It certainly looks like he'll be able to. Concussions, it's all about the protocol. It's all about where are you at compared to your baseline. But it certainly looks promising. Yes.
Just a few years ago, he'd probably already been out there. Nobody would have cared. Like, he looks fine, which is the same thing that kind of led them to let him try to walk himself off the field the other night. And maybe that wasn't so good. But, in this case, hopefully that obviously there's protocol to follow and hopefully he makes a quick recovery.
It felt weird because the lineup was ridiculous yesterday in terms of. And I always feel bad saying that. These guys have earned their way to the major leagues, all this. But 3 weeks ago, those players were making up the heart of the Chihuahuas lineup with Robinson Cano, who is now an Atlanta Brave. Right. So, gosh, the Chihuahuas have lost a lot. They must be making excuses down there about all the players they've lost. But that was ridiculous. But that happens every once in a while, right? But
yeah.
That very well could be the lineup again tonight, except Luke Voit will be in there.
Right.
I also felt weird writing about the lineup too much, even though the Padres had beat Alex Wood twice this year with different guys in there, because they haven't been great with their quote-unquote regulars in there. Bob Melvin used the word, this is not our normal. Well, they haven't really had a normal this year. It's been 6 weeks since Will Myers played. It was like he reminded me of that yesterday. I'm like, wow, that's right. Wow. That's incredible. Whatever.
There just aren't enough guys. I mean, having to lead off Grisham against a left-handed pitcher who's really good against lefties, having to hit Cronenworth third, having to hit Hosmer fifth, and then you get into the other guys down beyond that, and it just wasn't.
Jorge Alfaro is the folk hero, and he has earned that, and he's a really good guy to have on this team, but he's not your cleanup hitter,
right?
So that's the problem, and we've talked about it before, and I wish I could explain it properly here. The problem is the holes in the lineup. And basically, it wasn't just holes. It was you went off a cliff after
right. –
I'll give it after Hosmer, okay? And yeah. I know a lot of people would argue it was after Alfaro it went off a cliff. But Hosmer had two hits yesterday, and he's still a guy that when he goes up there, there's a certain amount of respect for him, especially certain pitchers who maybe can't exploit some of his weaknesses. So, I mean, a chasm. It wasn't just a hole. But all year, most of the year, there have been these holes. And Trent Grisham batting leadoff. Trent Grisham, I wrote about it in June. Wasn't making it up. Trent Grisham and Jake Cronenworth, keys to this offense in terms of, if you can count on Manny Machado, Jurickson mm-hmm. Profard already heated up. But in terms of them getting going, Cronenworth and Grisham. What happened? They got going. The Padres were on fire the beginning of June.
Right.
Haven't been so good for 2 weeks. The Padres have stunk for 2 weeks.
Right. And because no one else is really, Ha-Seong Kim was probably the guy who had stepped up the most, and then he got hurt.
Jay, this was a 2019 lineup.
Yeah. Guys like,
but it was worse.
Not having guys like Voit and Hosmer not going well, doesn't help. And Machado has cooled off since he was hurt, with the exception of, he hit those two home runs against the Giants. And I cringed. You talk about cringing. I cringe to think what the weekend would have looked like without those two hits that Manny had over the wall, because that was about all that they had for most of the weekend. I know what people want to know is there help on the, what sort of help, if any, is there on the horizon?
I think this is a very different looking team by August 3rd. Let's say that they wait till August 2nd to make a trade. At some point around that, likely before it, Will Myers and Fernando Tatis Jr. return. So that in itself, right? Like if you got Will Myers sure. from another team, you'd at least be like, okay, cool. We got a player from another team, right? And because you wouldn't have been paying attention to how bad he was. You would just be looking at his bottom line numbers and go, right. Oh, okay, cool. He got like a 740 OPS guy. Fine. Oh,
yeah.
Because we also got Fernando Tatis Jr., one of the best players in the game. So that's great. And like I said, I think there's I don't know if it's resignation or, whatever. They know, the Padres know that they need to add another bat. So it's a very different looking team. It's about, though, I don't even know if that'll be enough if Trent Grisham keeps hitting 193 and, Jake Cronenworth is so incredibly cold while also incredibly hot. Like, as much right. as that guy's been cold, that his numbers are as good as they are is a testament to that 3 weeks where he was he got a hit or he was on base every time he was up because
right.
he started incredibly cold and he's incredibly cold now. So,
well, it's almost like Hosmer's start has sort of carried him in a way through his numbers now look like they pretty much usually look, but it's how he got there. I mean, he was incredibly hot for the first month and he hasn't been really hot since then, especially from a slugging, from a slugging standpoint. But it's that same thing where they both have had stretches where they were really, really good. But then a lot of stretches where they haven't been.
And you can't discount that because it carried the Padres. But
absolutely.
You can't have this. And for those not watching, I'm doing up and down like a roller coaster or waves with my hand. You can't have the extremes. The extremes are killing this team.
Yeah. And speaking of extremes, I'll segue into pitching real quick. We were both there yesterday. We both saw Mackenzie Gore get batted around like nobody has done except for the Rockies. And it was easy to say, well, the Rockies have done it, but every other team, including the Dodgers, including the Braves, and don't have handy who else. But, I mean, he pitched against some good teams, including the Giants. But yesterday, and you wrote about this, I think, in your newsletter, or maybe it was your story or both, but they were all over his fastball. Yep. And he ended up just like not throwing it at the end. Yep. And his last, what, 8 or 10 pitches were either sliders or changeups. I don't know what the answer is. And you know, I don't know if people are being honest about him and if he is worn out and if he could use a break or if there's something mechanical going on that needs to be fixed again. What do you make of what's happened with Gore and sort of where he stands now, you know, just past the halfway point of this season?
I don't see how, given a lot of things, given that you knew a break was going to have to come, given that the timing is right now with the All-Star break coming up, given what happened yesterday, and quite honestly, and the Giants, all the Giants did was get back to being the Giants. They didn't chase, and they waited on that fastball, and they destroyed it. And the mechanical issue shows up in the fastball being 91, 92, right? And that's, I don't know what that mechanical issue is, but that's what everyone says. And clearly that is the problem there because he does reach 96. Still has it in him, but you've got him being tired. He gets a little, I don't want to use the word lazy. Other pitchers, when they've described themselves, though, sometimes that's how you get when you're not consistent with your fastball. And so obviously I don't see how this isn't the time to give him a break. Right. And I think it's a break over the bullpen, though I do think that sort of he might swap places with Nick Martinez going forward. Yeah. We'll see. He is.
Well, and all they need is, I was just going to say, all they need is one. They need one start this weekend, either by moving. You could move Anaya Clevinger up, or you could just pop Nick Martinez into that Saturday spot against Arizona. And if you don't, you know, if you can use Martinez in one of the next couple games with either Manaya or Clevinger, and then you could have Martinez pitch on Saturday and you could give Gore the break that you're talking about. There was one pitch yesterday that I remember, and I'm even less of a mechanics expert than you are, and you at least talk to people about it, but there was one pitch I remember remarking that he tried, it looked like he was trying to throw it as hard as he could, and it was only 93, and it was just one of those where you could just tell that his mechanics, at least on that one pitch, had to be off because he was trying to put something extra into it. And, you know, it's like, I can speak for this firsthand. You try to hit a golf ball too hard, it's the worst thing you can do. You need to just have, you know, nice, easy swing. And it's easy to say that. And every once in a while, you try to hit it too hard and it turns out to be your worst shot. And that's what it looked like to me with at least that one pitch yesterday. So he's just a little bit out of whack in at least in that respect.
Based on the amount of times that I've talked to pitchers, including veteran pitchers, and that they know that that just doesn't work, but they still do it. I imagine it's very tempting, especially when you're struggling to do that. But yes, you nailed it for lack. I mean, that really is a really good way to explain it. Yeah. So that's what I think happens there. Maybe you talk about Martinez and his usage. Maybe it depends a little bit on what happens at Coors Field, where you generally need a lot of pitchers. Sure. And let's face it, Padres bullpen hasn't been going good. So who knows what they're going to need in this series. And I almost will guarantee you that that's what they're going to say because they need to concentrate on this series and winning this series.
Right. And I think it's good that you brought up the bullpen because that was also on the long list of things that aren't going well. I mean, they're right now that it's hard to find. It's hard to look out there and see anybody that you feel really confident with. And I really think that of all the people, and this is so odd to say based on sort of where he was on this team, even at the start of this year, let alone last year, but Nabil Crismat has been the most reliable guy out of the bullpen. You know, one bad game against Philadelphia on a Sunday. But other than that, it feels like when he goes out there, I think more confident in him right now than anybody else. Luis Garcia giving up 2 runs the other day. I don't want to say like, oh, I called it, but you just, it's not surprising. You know what I mean? He gives up runs and it's, there are times where he just looks dominant and then he doesn't. And
in the same outing,
in the same outing. You know, Taylor Rogers has not been as good, and is certainly in his last four or five outings, as he was earlier. And it's not to say that he can't go back out there and pitch well, but yeah, they're definitely in a stretch right now where he has not been what they would have expected.
Right, and you're looking at August for any help on the back end there by Pomeranz. And or Pierce Johnson, probably Pierce Johnson before Pomeranz, but who knows? Steven Wilson, and you know, he's also been a guy who's been unhittable and then eminently hittable. So sure. There's not a place to look and go anywhere on the team right now and feel good about. I will say this. So, right, they're not as good in terms of their record. They might be like two games behind last year's pace at this time.
Yeah.
But there's two things that I'll say that there's three things. So I went back and I looked, and I only got back through the last two World Series champions, not counting the Dodgers, because we don't count that one. It was 60 games. They were an anomaly. Yeah. But the Braves and the Nationals both had stretches like this in their season. Okay.
Oh, well, the Nationals were horrible early. I mean, they were like 19 and 30 or something, if I remember right.
Yes. Now, stretches like this after June 15th, they didn't have. They were close, but not like this. There's a point where you know, you got to start turning it on. So, but anyway, there's one of my points. It happens. My other point is, generally speaking, and even lately, the starting pitching has been far better than last year, and that bodes well. All right?
And far healthier, too.
Far healthier. Both of them. Both in terms of, you know, injury, inconsistency, and competence of last year. Those things haven't happened this year. And the manager's different. Now, he's not going to play any games, as you and I are very fond of saying, but this is the reason he was brought in. Now, we said that before the last series, and I think before the series before that, and probably before the series before that. But, you know, again, these do happen. And those are the three things I have for you and Manny Machado. Okay. Yeah. And those guys coming back. But right now there is nothing to hang your hat on going into this series against the Rockies that says, oh, this team's okay.
Yeah. But the one thing you can hang your hat on is, and the Braves were the example of this last year, you don't have to be the best team in baseball to win the World Series. Nope. You just have to be the hottest team or the best team for a couple of weeks in October. The Braves went into the playoffs last year with the worst record, at least in the National League. I'm not sure if they were the worst in baseball, but they were the worst record in the National League. The biggest thing is they have to get to the playoffs. That's where, you know, that supersedes everything else. They're three games up in the loss column on the Giants. They're four games up in the loss column on the Cardinals for the last spot. I know they're ahead of the Phillies as well, but Those are the things to keep an eye on going forward. That's the cushion. That's the cushion that they have. It's not very big right now, but the key is to be one of those six teams that gets in the playoffs. You don't have to win 98 games. You don't have to be, you don't even have to be playing well. You don't have to have the quote momentum going into the playoffs. You just have to get into the playoffs.
Okay,
now,
so there
the
was.
Way they're playing right now, they're not playing well enough to get into the playoffs. But there's also you know, I don't even know how many games to go, 75 games to go or whatever it is. So there's a long way to go. And the key is to win enough of those 75 games to be still playing after October 3rd.
So I said I had three things. I added two more. You just added another big one. There's a half a dozen reasons to still be bullish on the Padres. Okay. Now, let me give you three reasons that this week might not go well that have nothing to do with the Padres. Chris Bryant is back, and he's hitting the heck out of the ball, and he hasn't really even had a chance at Coors Field yet. CJ Cron, hold on, I just want to make sure I get it right because it's so preposterous. In the three games at Coors Field last month, was 7-for-13 with 3 home runs and 8 RBIs, okay? And Charlie Blackmon, if you've watched the Padres and the Rockies play at all in his career, enough said. But he also was 6-for-12 with a double, a triple, and a home run last time against the Padres, and he's one of the best players in history against the Padres.
Right.
So
no, those are all.
And Chris Bryant didn't play last time. That's why I let off with him.
Yeah. No, those were all good points. And, you know, but again, just when you think you have this game figured out, nope. Something weird happens. So if this was on paper, you'd say, yeah, the Padres are in deep trouble this week at Coors. But every time we think that, something weird happens. And that said, I won't be surprised if they lose 3 or 4. I won't be surprised if they win 3 or 4. You know, we'll watch the games. We'll see. I know that I know it's supposed to be, they have a day game on Thursday and it's supposed to be brutally hot. So the ball will really be flying on that day, at least for, we know at least for one team.
Theoretically. Yes.
Yeah. Theoretically, whether the Padres can get anything to fly.
Here's the amazing thing. Sure. As you watch this, this is what the Padres marvel at. And I'm sure other teams do too. Yes. The Rockies hit a lot of home runs. The Rockies know how to play at this field, man. You know, outfielders, look at, watch tonight, watch where Trent Grisham plays. You see where he plays in every other park, virtually every other park. So shallow because of his speed, because of his ball recognition. He'll play deep tonight. The Rockies somehow hit those flares. They get a lot of singles. They get those triples in the gap and doubles that should have been, or, you know, that would be singles anywhere else because guys are playing so deep. It's remarkable how well, and I guess it's not since that's where they play, but yeah, they have a home field advantage, I think, like no other team in baseball. And I'm just stating a fact. I'm not saying like, oh, that's bad or unfair or whatever. No, that's a fact. And okay, you find a way to win. You find a way to beat them. I do remember when bad Padres teams would come in here and Will Myers would hit 5 home runs.
Exactly.
And Corey Spangenberg would hit a couple. And you know, it doesn't seem like these Padres do that. So
yeah. Well, I was just looking up the series from before, and the Rockies hit 8 home runs in that series. The Padres hit 4, and the one home run that popped up as I was looking up a box score was CJ Cron's 486-foot home run that almost left the ballpark. So that's something to watch. But you're right, the Padres used to go up there and somebody like Will Myers especially would hit home, or Matt Kemp would hit home runs like that, and we're not seeing that lately.
Austin Hedges,
right.
He would pop a fly ball to left field that would go over. I mean, yeah, so, just do that.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, it's we'll see what happens. We got 4 days of Coors ball ahead of us, and you will get home, and we will talk to you on Friday back in San Diego, and we will see what happened, and we will preview the last series of the quote-unquote first half.
Yes, the 48th game, 48th, 49th, and 50th game this season against the Diamondbacks will be coming.
That's right.
Thanks, everybody.